Okay, so today, Be'ez Hashem, we begin Siman Kuf Tzadi, Siman Kuf Tzadi, which is the Siman of Ksamim, and I'd like to spend a little bit of time just in the beginning to explain the whole issue of Ksamim. Ksamim, again, as we know, is when a woman finds a stain, a blood spot on her garments or on other things, and we have to talk to a lot of Sifim. I'm not going to have to read every single Sif in great detail in this long Siman, but it's obviously very, very important and very much relevant topic in terms of Hilchos Nida. A lot of the times, people have a question. The woman finds a mara somewhere in her underwear or other garments and so on and so forth. So it's relevant, obviously. And I'd like to begin by giving a kind of a general hakdoma, move into Sif Aleph from there. Our point of departure, of course, is the pasuk in Parshas Metzora, which we've seen so many times. Vayikra Perek Tes Vav Pasuk Yutes. Ve'isha ki yesia zova dam yezova bivsara. Right, the Torah says that she experiences a flow of blood, bivsara, and then she was shown tevinus. Right, okay, we know that that makes her tame and so on, and asula bila and everything. And the emphasis again is on the word zova bivsara. Bivsara means she experiences some kind of sensation in her goof, in her flesh, in her body. So the Gemara says on daf nun zayin number base, source number two, Omar Shmuel, bodka karka olam. A woman saw, she sat down on the floor, on a bench, or whatever it is, and she saw when she sat down, it was clean. Bodka karka olam, and this karka, or place where she was sitting, was clean before. Yashua land, she sat down over there. And then when she got up, umotza damala, she saw that there was dam there. Dam wasn't there when she first sat down, and when she got up, it turns out that there, she saw that there is dam. So the Shmuel says, tahora, she's tahora. Even though it's pretty clear that this dam came from her, nonetheless, because it was clean before she sat down, and it was, again, people didn't have the same kind of clothing and undergarments we have today. So anyway, the place was clean when she sat down, and now when she got up, there's dam there, so it's pretty obvious the dam came from her. Nonetheless, Shmuel rules that she's tahora. Shenemar, based on this pasuk, right? It says, bivsara, achatargish, bivsara. We talked about it at the very beginning. According to the Torah, since it says bivsara, she has to have some sort of a hargosha. We had different opinions exactly how we define the hargosha, but whatever, remember we had three different opinions, but whatever exactly the hargosha is, she has to experience some sort of sensation, some sort of feeling that blood was being discharged, and she didn't. The only thing is, she saw dam when she got up there. So obviously something came out, but she didn't feel any kind of sensation. And therefore, Shmuel says that she's tahora because of bivsara, acha targish bivsara. So the Gemara asks, hi, bivsara, mi boile, shemitam bifnim b'machutz. What do you mean? We already have a different drasha, which we learned from that pasuk or that phrase or that word, bivsara, namely that even before the dam comes out, if she already experiences a sensation in the vaginal canal before it comes out, so she's already tamei at that point. Again, we discussed that early in the year. So Morris says, no, in Cain, lema kara, bivasar. We should have just said bivasar. My bivsara, shmami, no, I should target bivsara. So we learned two different dinim, one from bivasar, one from bivsara. Bivasar, we learned that she's metame bifnim kima bachutz, that even though the blood actually didn't come out yet, she already has the status of the tumah of nida when it's in the vaginal canal after it came out of the rechem, out of the mokar. And the other din is we learn that shetagish b'vsara. More says about katim boile b'vsara v'lo b'shvir. We discussed that too, right? It has to be come out through her flesh and not through some sort of a tube or something else was put in, like we discussed. More says v'lo b'chaticha, not some other mass of flesh that comes out. We discussed that again. So tagish b'vsara. Okay, we learn now to two different things. Fine. Bottom line, Shmuel learns in the pasuk b'vsara that a woman sees a kesem. Right, she sees a blood stain which came from her because, again, the case in the Gemara is bodka karka olam v'yoshua. She saw first. You can't say that it was there before. She looked and there was nothing there. Now she sat down and she got up after a while and she saw there was dam there. So, you know, it's pretty evident that the dam came from her. But nonetheless, she's tahora because there was no hargosha. That's the Gemara on Nun Zayin Amud Beis at the top of the page. At the bottom of the same page, source number three, going over to Nches Amud Aleph, the Gemara says Amr of Yirmi, very bottom of Nun Zayin Amud Beis, source three. Amr of Yirmi Midifti, Mo de Shmuel, she tmeya midrabanan. Well, Shmuel is talking at the Raisa level. Okay, Shmuel and that Gemara on the top of the Nzan Rebbe's in source two, that's talking at the Raisa level. Midoraisa, there has to be Hargosha. However, exactly we define Hargosha, but Midoraisa, there has to be Hargosha, and therefore she's Tahora on a Daraisa level. If she simply saw a blood spot, she saw a stain. Where it wasn't there before, so it's clear that it came from her. So certainly she's tahora midaraisa because no hargosha. But Rav Yirmiya Midifti explains, but Shmuel agrees midrabanan, she is indeed tamei midrabanan. And Rashi explains on the top of Nunches Aleph, Midrabanan, verse 4, Dilma Argosha Velavadaite, because Midrabanan, where it goes there, maybe she Taka did have Argosha, didn't realize it. We discussed also earlier in the year, again, we discussed a lot of these points. But earlier in the year, remember, we called it, I think, a masked Argosha. Right, I think that's referred to it, or a hidden Hargosha, right? She didn't realize it was kind of blocked by something else, okay, by some other sensation, right? So the Gemara makes Rabbi Yirmiyahu says that even Shmuel admits me to Rabbanan. Shmuel was only talking Daraisa. It says Bivsaros. You have to have Hargosha in order to be labeled a Nida Daraisa. But me to Rabbanan, even such a Kesem makes her a Nida. Because Dilma Argosha Velavadaita, maybe the Taka was Argosha, Gzera Rabbanan. She didn't feel it, but maybe it was actually there, Velavadaita. Okay, that's the Sugya on Nun Zayin, Amud Beis, and going over the top of Nun Ches and Aleph. A little bit later, on the next Amud, Nun Ches and Beis, so, are you with me so far? Good? Yeah. Okay, so a little bit later on Nun Ches and Beis, source number 5, and again, it's a Mishnah, so it's really earlier than Shmuel. I'm just following the order of the pages in the Gemara. Okay, you know, I made the presentation here in order of the pages in the Gemara, not in the order that chronological order of the statements, because obviously the Mishnah on the Chesam Beis is going to quote Rabbi Akiva, and that's before Shmuel, obviously. But I just presented things in the order of the page in the Gemara. So that was Nun Zayin Amud Beis. Shmuel's din that if she finds a Kesem, she's Tahor Daraisa because there's no Hargosha, but with Rabbanan, she's Temeah, based on this Kesem. Good. Okay. Now we look at the Mishnah on Nun Ches Amud Beis 5. You're neither. Mishnah says, "Ma'ase be'isha achas shabos lifnei Rabbi Akiva." Certain woman once approached Rabbi Akiva, "Amarlo ra'isi kesem," and she informed him that she found the kesem, she found the stain of dam on her clothing or wherever it was. "Amarlo shema makah ha'isabah," but did you have some kind of a makah, some kind of internal injury or a cut or something like that? That did you have some sort of a makah that that could have caused the bleeding? So Amarla Hain, she said, yes, but Bechoisa, but it healed. I did have some sort of a cut there or some other type of a wound, but it healed. Okay, got better. So Rabbi Akiva said, yeah, but Amarla Shema Yichola Li Galalim at La Holotzidam. Yeah, but maybe it could open up theoretically like a scab. You know, some person doesn't have a scab, but if you bang it against something, you have a scab, let's say you cut yourself on the hand, right? So then you got a cut, and now it healed up. So there's a scab there. So sometimes you scratch it or you move it, you bang it at something, so a little bit of blood can come out. So the Kiva said, yeah, it's true, it may have healed, and you don't have any blood anymore, but is it possible that the cut or the wound opened up a little bit and some blood came out? And she said, yes. I'm like, hey, yeah, it's possible. Okay, she said, yes. So the Kiva said, the TRR, the Kiva said, okay, so we can assume that this dam that you found, this kesem, this bloodstain that you found, was a result of that cut or that wound, as opposed to being dam in hamokar, and therefore you're not a nida, but tira b'kiva. That's what the Mishnah reports, okay? That b'kiva said that the blood may have come, blood came from that cut that opened up, and therefore it's not a nida problem. So the Mishnah continues, ro talmidav mistakten zebezeh. Apparently, b'kiva's talmidim either were there when the woman came, or he was explaining the din to them afterwards, or whatever it was. So they all looked at each other, right? They looked at each other, means they were puzzled. They looked at each other. What? What do you mean? He said that she's Tahora? What do you mean? They all looked at each other. So Amar Lahem, so he saw they were looking at each other funny. Okay. So Rabbi Akiva said, Amar Lahem, Ma Hadovar Kosher Benechem, why is this so difficult? You don't understand. Why are you so puzzled by this psak that I gave? Shalom Omru Chachoma Hadovar Lahachmer Elala Hokel. Rabbi Akiva said the whole din of Kesem, okay, Rabbi Akiva clarified, okay, that basically you can be makel in the dinim of Ksamim, okay? Lo omra chachamam adabar lahachmer el lahakel. The issue of Ksamim, we have the right to be makel. They don't want us to be machmer in every possibility. The din of Ksamim is we can find kulas. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, the isha kisiyad into the same pasuk back in number 1, perek tes vav pasuk tes, the isha kisiyad zava dam ye zava bivsara dam below kesem. Right, the pasuk is talking about when a woman bleeds, and that doesn't apply to a kesem. So we keep it said we don't have to look for every possible chumra. If you have a kula, if you have a legitimate kula, then it's good. That's what we keep it said. Now I just want to stress this is not exactly the same din as Shmuel. You wonder what I mean. Shmuel and Akiva, Shmuel, of course, lived after Akiva. Shmuel is a first generation Amoraim, and Akiva is a Tana, obviously. So, but it's not the same thing. Because remember, Akiva was Makel because there was something else to be Tola, the Kesemim. Okay, Shmuel didn't ask that question. Okay, Shmuel just said, "Well, there was no hargosha, therefore, therefore she's not the tamei d'oraisa, right?" Rabbi Akiva was mekel because there was something else to be told him. It sounds like Rabbi Akiva is mekel even d'rabbanan. In other words, it's not the same. Shmuel did not. I'm just pointing out that Shmuel in the earlier Gemara on the Zayin Beis was not simply restating what Rabbi Akiva said. Rabbi Akiva said, right, we can be Mekel. So Shmuel was also Mekel. Right? Shmuel was Mekel. Shmuel said that since it was no Hargosha, therefore it was Mekel. But it's not the same din. Everyone understands that? Or is it Rabbi Akiva and Shmuel not the same thing? Okay, Rabbi Akiva was Mekel because it was something else to tell this dam, to be told to say that this dam came from this cut that she had, this wound that she had that may have healed, but theoretically could reopen a little bit and some blood can come out like a scab. So that's why Akiva was Mekel. Shmuel was talking about a different thing. Shmuel was saying, since there's no Hargosha, then there's no Dam. Shmuel was not just restating what Rabbi Akiva said, because in Shmuel's case, there was nothing to be told on Shmuel. There's no question. Okay, in Shmuel's case, right, she sat down in a place, there was no Dam there. When she got up, there was Dam there. So there's nothing else to be told on, right, at this point. And Shmuel didn't ask, maybe she has a Makkah there, whatever. No, he just said there was an Argosha. So I'm just pointing out it's not the same thing. But anyway, that is the idea. Now, what does it mean when it says in the Gemara, and in the Mishnah, rather, what did Akiva mean? What does that mean? Sounds like we're Mako, right? In the dinim of Ksamim. The problem is that there is a Brisa, which the Gemara subsequently quotes on Nuntes and Aleph, source number six. Okay. The Brisa says, Tanya, look at six. Exact opposite. Akiva says in the Mishnah, look at the last line of five. But the Brisa says exact opposite. So what's going on here? It's obviously a direct stirah. Okay, so which is it? We have a Brisa that seems to say that we should be machmer in the dinim of ksamim. So good. So Akiva says, we says in the Mishnah, but the Brisa says the other way. The Brisa says when it comes to ksamim, we are machmer. Right? Exact opposite. So Amar Avina, like this. Lo lahakel al divrei Torah. You have to put the two things together. They're both right. The same Rabbi Akiva is right. You're right and you're right. How can they both be right? You're also right. What do you mean? They said the opposite thing. How can they both be right? Okay, how can you say, we don't, the Mishnah says, now we're saying they're both right. What do you mean they're both right? They're saying the exact opposite. So, no. What it means is, in fact, in other words, We're coming. The brisa means that we're machmer al divrei Torah, meaning that the gzera of ksamim was to be machmer on what it says in the Torah. The Torah requires, as Shmuel pointed out, the Torah requires a hargosha. Okay, a kesem by definition means there was no hargosha. She just found the stain without having been any kind of sensation, any kind of a hargosha. Okay, that's one of the questions you ask when a woman brings a mara. It's a kesem and so on. So you have to find out, was there any type of hargosha at all? Did she experience anything like she normally experiences when she becomes a nida? But if she doesn't, so that's a kesem. So what Ravina explains is that when it says in the Brisa, okay, la'omr chavos adabar la'hakel, okay, it's not to be mekel on divrei Torah, okay, it's to be machmer, okay? In other words, they want a machmer, they say that ksamim, according to the Torah, you need a hargosha, and the Rabbanan says even if it's a kesem, even if it's not a hargosha. However, once you have the din, once they were misakin the din of kesem, then there are certain kulas in kesem that wouldn't apply to a regular isdam. You follow? That's how you put the two statements together. In other words, what the Brisa says is la'omar chamas la'hakel la'achmir, meaning that the gzera of ksamim came to be machmir when it says in the Torah. The Torah only requires hargoshen or for her the status of anida. And we do a bottom. We say even a kesem makes her anida. So that's what the Brisa means, right? That's what the Brisa means. La'tanya la'omar chamas la'hakel la'achmir. The purpose of the gzera of ksamim was to be machmir on what it says in the Torah, because the Torah requires hargosha. And the chacham say, no, even if it's a kesem, some kind of stain, without having been a hargosha, we're still going to treat her as a nida. Okay, that's the din, even without a hargosha. Okay, that the kach tiknu chachamim, that they were misakin the din of ksamim, to be machmir on the Torah, which required a hargosha. However, once they were But with what Rabbi Kiva meant in the Mishnah, Shalom Rachon Adavar Lahachmei Al-Hakka means once you have the Dinim of Kesem, then you can find certain kulas not to apply it. You follow not to apply the Dinim of Kesem. And one of them is, if you can be, as we'll see other things, we'll see, you know, about the Simon, and you know some of them anyway, but we'll see other kulas in terms of Kesem. One of them is, the one that Rabbi Kiva brings up in the Mishnah, is if you can be tolled on something else. Right, if you can reasonably suggest that this dam came from someplace else, so then enochanami the din of ksamim, the xer ksamim was introduced to be machmir on what it says in the Torah. But once the din was introduced, then Rabbi Kiva is correct. Then we can be makel within the din of ksamim and find certain kulas that we wouldn't say otherwise if there was a hargosha. If a woman had a hargosha, we're not going to say, oh, but maybe it came from the cut, maybe it came from a wound. That's irrelevant if she had a hargosha, right? But if she didn't have a hargosha, it's just a kesem. So the enachanamid is a gzeres chachamim that we ask her, a woman as a nida, once as a kesem. But if there's kula, there's certain kulas. If for example, you can be told on something else, so then we can apply such a tliya and say that the din of ksamim don't apply. So Rabbi Osai, that's how you resolve these two things. So they're both right. The din of ksamim. Once they introduced the din of ksamim, then they were makel. If they're within the din, they were makel on certain things. Now, the question, next question is, why did the chachamim institute gzera ksamim altogether? All right, now we understand that they made a gzera. Okay, again, it's pretty clear from the Torah, like Shmuel said in the second source, right? The Torah requires hargosha. That's how we darshan the pasuk bivsara, right? So the Gemara Torah requires hargosha, and come along the chachamim and they make a gzera that even if there's no hargosha and just found the kesem, she's still in either. Why? Well, what's the rationale for the chachamim having made such a takana? So we find a few different approaches in the Rishonim. The Rashi that we saw back in number 4, okay. The Rashi is back in number 4, Nun Chesem Aleph, says why. He gives one reason why. Look back and forth. Because Dilma Argashov Alavadaite. Right? Rashi said, because the Gzerah of the Rabbanon, that maybe she felt like we sometimes have these types of Gzerahs with the Rabbanon Shema, right? Maybe she felt something and she didn't realize what it was, and therefore there really was a Hargosha, she didn't sense it. So that's reason number one. That's one explanation why they made it, why the Rabbanon were goes on Ksamim. Because the Bonner goes there because maybe it's very similar. She didn't exactly feel it, but maybe she didn't realize it and so on, right? Really, it was a nida with Hargosha. She just didn't sense it, right? So that's what Rashi says over there on Nun Ches Amar Aleph, Dilma Sunder Bonner, Dilma Argashav Alav Adaiti. However, on Nun Tesam Aleph, okay, look at 7, when Rashi explains the Gemara's resolution of the stira between the statement of Akiva and the Mishnah, that lo amar chama adav al hachmel al hakel, and the brayse said the afarkert. The brayse said the opposite. Lo amar chama adav al hakel al hachmel. We explain the midaraisa. We explained that the gzera ksamim was a chumar na daraisa, but once the gzera ksamim is in place, then we have the right to be makel. So look in Rashi in 7. Neither nun testament out of 7. Lo al hakel al divrei Torah. Like I explained before, she explains, right? That which the Chacham introduced, the Xeru Ksamim, that's Lahachmel Dibre Torah. And here he says why. Shalo Lahokel Benida Gemura. All right? And then he finishes the point, like I explained before. Mu Ksamim Atzon Drabana Vazina Ben Lakula Vitalin Bechomide. But once you have the Xeru Ksamim, so then it's room to be Makel. On the basis of certain things like Tlia, that you can pin it on something else, like a cut and so on. But what I'm interested in right now in the moment is Rashi here says another reason why there is a Gzer Ksamim. Look at his words in the middle of Nun Testament Aleph, Rashi Nun Testament Dimas, Lola Hakka 7, Shalola Hakkel Benida Gemura. So now what does that sound like? It sounds like sort of like a Syog, no? Don't be makel in a kesem because then don't ignore a kesem because then you'll end up ignoring a real hargosh, right? So it's shalola hakel benida gemura, right? The people, we have to be strict, obviously, the dinim of nida is stringent dinim, and therefore we're afraid that if we're going to be makel by ksamim and ignore that, so sometimes we will come to ignore a real reis nida. You with me? In other words, that's a rash. It's a little different than what he said in Nun Chesem and Aleph. So we have two different reasons really presented here by Rashi as to why we have Gzer Ksamim. Reason number one, in the Nun Chesem and Aleph, Dilma Asma Darbanon, it says Dilma Argashav Alavadaite, right? Darbanon made Gzer, that maybe she felt it and didn't realize it. And so there was Argosh and didn't realize it. And here, In the Testament Aleph, Rashi gives a second approach. He says, Shalo lahakel benida gemura. We're afraid that Rabbana made a gzera because otherwise, who knows, if you're going to be makel on an aksumim, so it'll lead you to be makel when it's actually a real hargosha, a real rias nida. Okay, that's what Rashi is over here. So those are so far two reasons that we find, and we've shown them two different explanations in Rashi, and they're not mutually exclusive. It could be the Rabbanan made this gzera aksumim for several reasons. So Rashi is two different reasons, okay? They were gozer a tumah of a kesem, and by the way, I should just want to stress that even if she didn't have argosha, and even if she did a bedika afterwards, didn't find anything, we'll see. Even if she did a bedika afterwards, didn't find anything, still the gzera is in place. Just to explain these two shitas in Rashi, I want to give a moshal amala davadoma. It's not exactly the same, but it's a kain, you know, and really explains why we have certain gzeras that are abundant in general. Right, I'll just use Hilchos Shabbos as an example. Okay, Hilchos Shabbos. Sometimes the Rabbanan asks you something. For example, let's say you're not allowed to write. Not allowed to write the way you normally write. And what if I write with my left hand? So that's the Rabbanan, right? That's also the Rabbanan. Again, I know it's not exactly the same thing, but it's basically what you're saying is the Chacham say don't write with your left hand either. Why? Not because writing with your left hand is going to lead you to write with your right hand, but it's the same basic thing. You wrote, okay? Ein hachanami, meleches machsheves, and so on and so forth. The Torah says you only violate the Issur Shabbos if you do a melacha in the manner which the melacha is normally done. But, so Chacham said, you write kalach hayad, you write with your left hand, it's still also the Rabbanan. On the other hand, you have other gzeres the Rabbanan in Hilchos Shabbos, where the Rabbanan asked him something which is not at all like the Av Melacha. In other words, writing with your left hand is not that much fundamentally different than writing with your right hand. Right? I'm talking you're a righty, obviously. I'm a righty, so I apologize to anyone here who might be a lefty. But, if I write with my right hand, so writing with my left hand, what am I doing? I'm writing. Right? It's the same. Okay. It's not a Melacha deraisa. It's not Melachas Machsheva. It's not done in the normal fashion. Okay. But it's still the same act. It's a very similar act. Let's say you have a rule. You're not allowed to ride an animal on Shabbos. Why are you not allowed to ride an animal on Shabbos? Remember? Because you may break a branch off to smack the animal. Well. Breaking a branch is not similar in any way to riding an animal. Right? That was, breaking a branch is not another means of riding an animal. By riding the animal, you may come to break a branch. Right? You follow up to a different type of drabonon. And really, that's a distinction between them. I'm not saying it's the same thing here. It's a distinction we call a melacha d'rabbanan and a gzera d'rabbanan. So, but I'm just trying to give you a ka'ain, a similar type example. Okay, when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, sometimes something's also d'rabbanan because it's fundamentally similar to what's also d'raisa. Writing with your left hand is similar to writing with your right hand. Breaking a branch is not similar to riding an animal. It's just that usher, you're going to ride an animal, you might break off a branch. So that could be the same thing over here with the two Rashis, okay? The Rashi in Anun Chesamun Aleph, in 4, Rashi is saying, Dilma Argish of Alava Daite, is saying, no, there really was. In other words, they made a gzera that, who knows, that she did see Dam, she just didn't notice it. It's a point that she saw Dam, right? It's not to prevent you or protect you from anything. It's just that, yeah, maybe she taka saw Dam when didn't realize it. It was a mass targosha. The Rashi and the Testament is saying, no, it's Shalola Hakka B'nei D'Gmor. We're afraid that if you'll come to be Makel on Ksumim, so you'll end up being Makel. Right? It's not the same thing. Right? It's not the same thing. One will lead to the other. It's like riding the animal will lead you to break the bridge. Not the same thing. Okay, Kesem and a regular Rias Nida is not the same thing. But if you're going to be Makel by Kesem, Shema Shalola Hakka B'nei D'Gmor, you end up being Makel maybe by regular Nida case, regular Ria, and that's what we don't want. So I'm just saying it's a Cain. But anyway, those are two things, two reasons Rashi explains why the Rabbanim were gozer, the Xeria of Ksumim, to Asu Ksumim, to consider a woman who sees a Kesem like an Ida, either because of Dilma Argish of Alav Adaita or Shalola Hakka B'nei D'Gmor. Good? Everyone with me? Good. If you look in source number 8, the Chedusha Haran, there in that Daf Nidan and Zayin Rebbeis, he has a different thing altogether. He starts Mod de Shmuel and so on, and he spells out the Gemara, right? Mod de Shmuel Shitmei Drabonin, Midamrina Hailish Mashman Ad Hashra Kosach de Shmuel Tahor Legamri Kamar, right? Originally, we thought that Shmuel was, when Shmuel says Tahor, he meant Tahor Legamri, right? Completely Torah, Bafilu Drabonin. Okay, and therefore the Gemara has to clarify. No, Shmuel is moder. Rabbi Yehuda Bedifti says Shmuel is moder on a on a Darabana level. Okay, fine. But we look towards the end, three lines in the bottom of eight, and after the Sharan. Elevada Hachem, when the came into the Raisa, Eina Tmea Elebar Gosha. Okay, one of the kulas that we're going to see at length is that a Riyas Dam, a Kesem, is only usur if it's found on a garment which is Mekabel Tumah. Yeah, it's one of the kulas that we have by the kula we saw Rabbi Kiva in the Mishnah on Daf Nun Ches, Rabbi Kiva in the Mishnah said that we have a kula to be tola, if we can be tola the kesem and a makkah, good, okay. And now another kula which we'll talk about at some length is where on what type of garment or what type of material the kesem was found. There's a whole issue with toilet paper and other things we'll discuss. Okay, but if the kesem is found on davar she'ena mekabel tumah, if not mekabel tumah, then we have a kula. All right, why is that? So where does that come from? The Gemara said, Ran says, the end of the Chiddush Ran there in the Zayin Beis, end of eight, says Alavada Hachamar the Kevin the Raisa ain't a Tamei Alavar Gosha. Since me the Raisa, the only the Tamei when there's a Hargosha, right? Without we know, we have to, like we said, that's a Hargosha. That which the Chachamar Gozer Lo Gozer Elavadamar Makabel Tumah. Rabbana, when they introduced the Chumrah, the Gzer of Ksamim, they introduced it only with regard to something which is not Makabel Tumah. And says the Ran now, two lines in the bottom of eight, Vahainu Taima. That's what he says. Vahainu Taima. Why? Okay, the concern with Ksamim is with regard to the beged. Let's remember that part of the issue when a woman becomes a nida, so also something she touches, or the dam nida we discussed at the very, very beginning of this man list, you're right, that the dam nida itself is an avatuma. So the concern here is about the beged, says the Ran. And therefore, we're afraid that if kevin shemash nimtzalav kesem tomei gozer banan kadesh loyov latara beged, right? Whatever the kesem is found on, if it's a real riyas dam, if it's dam nidus, then it's going to be mitame the beged. So therefore, that's why they instituted the gzer of ksamim. In other words, the gzer of ksamim had to do with the beged becoming tomei, like tumas maga, or tumas mas also with tumas maga, okay. And we're afraid that if we're going to say that a woman who has a kesem is tahar, so then the beged's also going to be tahar, and maybe the beged is it shouldn't be tahar. That's the rant. Maybe the beged shouldn't be tahar because it's dam nida. It may not be dam nida in the sense of asking her to her husband because there's no hargosha, but it could be dam nida for tuman tahara purposes. Therefore, they said, you know what? It's going to be usher for isav heter heter labayla as well. That's what the Ran says. Okay, but that's why they only made it applicable to a davar mekabel tumah, because davar ain't a mekabel tumah, it's not going to become tum anyway, right? The dam nida, even a regular dam nida, will not be metame, something that can't be mekabel tumah. So they only extended the gzera to something which is mekabel tumah. Again, I don't need all the details right now about mekabel tumah, which we'll get to, Be'ez Hashem, later in the siman. However, what emerges from the Ran is the whole gzera of ksamim. Not like Rashi. Again, I'm not saying there's an argument here because they could all be right. We're looking for different reasons why the Chazal instituted the Chumrah of Ksamim. So Rashi said, Dilma Argosha Valabadaite, maybe she didn't sense the Argosha. Or we're saying maybe it's because of the Chumrah, if you're going to be Mekel by Kesem, it may lead you to be Mekel by regular Re'yah. And the Ran here in the Chiddush Ran introduces another reason why they were Gozer and Ksamim is because we're afraid it'll lead to a mistake of being Matara Beged that shouldn't be Tahar. Right, and that's what emerges from the Ran. Okay, the concern is made the gzera on the woman is because of the tumah of the beged. That's the Chiddush Ran. Okay, again, just another reason. I'm not saying there's a big argument here. I'm just saying they're giving different reasons behind the gzera of ksamim. Source 9, is it Rashi, the Rambam rather. Perek Tes of the Chesur B'Alach Aleph. First, the Rambam says, "Eino isha mistamina Torah." Etc. Right? In order to midaraisa level, a woman won't become an Ida until there is a discharge of dam, and it came out of her flesh, and so on and so forth. Okay, good. Even if she didn't feel it, but she found the dam, fine. Okay, that's the basic thing. Halacha Beis, now, which is more relevant to us at the moment, the parak test, because it's Rabbi Halacha Beis, the Rambam writes, umidivrei sofrim. If she finds a kesem, a stain, dam, al-basara, on her body, or I'll be got down, her garments, etc. Afal pi shelo hirgisha, even though she didn't sense anything. Afal pi shebodka atzma velo matzam, she checked herself afterwards and found nothing. So it was not getting her period then. Harei ze tmeya anyway, ukeilu matza dam lifnim bivsaret. It's as if she taka found dam. It says, the Rambam, you know why? V'tumazu besofek shema kesem zemi dam acheder bo. The Rambam says the concern here is a sofek. Sofek shema kesem zem. Maybe this dam came from the cheder. Now, he doesn't explain why. The Rambam could work really with either of the two approaches that we had in Rashi. Rashi had two approaches, right? And number four, the Chazan said, Dilma ir argisha ulo adaiti. So that may be the Rambam saying also. The Rambam is saying we're concerned. There's a suffix because maybe this dam came from the Mokor. And, you know, she didn't notice the Hargosha, but there really was Hargosha. He could be saying that. Or he could be saying that there's a suffix that it came from the Dama Cheder, and therefore you're going to be Mekel now, you're going to be Mekel on other things too. So I'm not saying the Rambam really weighs in on that issue, but the Rambam's concern is suffix, Shema Kesem Zemi Dama Cheder Bo. And this prompts the Kesef Mishnah intent to raise the following kasha. Why isn't this a Sfek Sfeka? Okay, take a look at Tana Kesef Mishnah there in his Rebbeir, Perak Tess Halach Alaf and Beis. He says, Ein Oish Mishnah Tarek says, Tum Azul B'Sofek Shema Kesem Zemi Dama Cheder Bo Koshali. Why is Sfek Sfeka? Okay, and therefore she mutter. Because number one, Sufik migufa ba Sufik shalom migufa. First of all, we have a Sufik. Did it come from her body altogether? Maybe it came from something else. When she finds a blood stain, maybe it came from something else. Tim shalom migufa, and even if you tell me it did come from her body, Sufik min acheder, and maybe it didn't come from that part of the body, the tome, and Sufik min aliyah, the tar. Maybe it came from, again, the upper area, which is not dam nidus, so then she's tar. So why isn't this a Sfek Sfeka? You hear the kasha of the Kesef Mishnah? Well, the Rambam seems to make it a suffix, but it was really a sfek sfek, right? Because number one, suffix, did it come from suffix, meaning from her goof or not? And they feel it somehow came from her goof, but maybe it came from part of the goof. It's not dam either. So we said, because sfek sfek, we should say that she's tahor if she sees a kesef. So yesh lomar, the afal picha nechmira bo chachamim, mishum diyisr chomor. So the Kesef Mishnah, the first heretz, Echanami. You're right, Echanami, it could be that it is a sfek sfek, but because of the Chomer of Nida, we're not going to be Mekel, even though maybe it is a Sfek Sfeka. Okay? Could be it is a Sfek Sfeka.
Could you say that that since it's also negated to Tumah V'Tahara, and Tumah V'Tahara, this is like Bishus HaYachid, so we'd be Machmir, so maybe we chop a rind on that?
That I read in 8, the Chetush HaRan, makes it... said the whole thing is because of there on the Beged, maybe that would be an interesting application. I don't know. The Ran linked it to Tumah V'Tahara, right? The Chiddush HaRan. Right. So maybe that should make a difference. We know that the Sufek Tumah, right. There's a difference in Sufek Tumah Shliach and Sufek Tumah. It could be. The Ram doesn't do that at all. Yeah. But the Ram doesn't do that at all. And the Ram is not talking that at all. Okay. But the second territory to the Kesef Mishnah, it's a possibility. But Odi Shlomo, he says, the second teretz is that, listen, they found this kesem. There was nothing else to be tola on. So where else did it come from? That's a weak suffix. It's not a sfek sfeka. The first suffix, shema kesem zeh, what is it? The shema migufa, a suffix, migufa, suffix, shema migufa, says the kesem mishnah, that's a weak suffix. That first suffix, it did come from there, right? It came from there, right? That's his first teretz is a word more machmer, even if it's a sfek sfeka. The second thing, it's not a real sfek sfeka, he says. The first one is not a suffix, right? Like in the case of Shmuel. She sat, before she looked at the bench or the chair or the floor, whatever she sat on, and she saw there's no dam. Then she said, I mean, you got up there was dam. Where else did it come from? Yeah, theoretically possible it came from somewhere else, but it's not likely, right? So that he called a weak suffix, therefore no sfek sfeka. That's the Kesef Mishnah answer. You follow? All right. Anyway, so we have three or four different reasons in the Rishonim as to why the Chachamim were gozer the Yisur Ksamim. Again, Rashi mentions two Shema Shem Dilma Argisha Velava Daite or Shalola Haka Benidah Gemura, right? And then the Iran brings up the issue that we're concerned about the result that will be with the Beged. If we make on her, so we make on the garment also, not the same din. And the Rambam says the suffix, And we'll explain why it's not a Sveik Sveik. So let's look now in 11, the Shulchan Aruch here, in our Siman Kuf Tzad Yisif Aleph, says the Mechaber Dvar Torah, Eino Isha Metama Velo Asur Labayla Ad Shetargish Sheyete Dami Besara. Mida Raisa, there's no Isser of Nida, unless she has a Hargosha, she senses the blood coming out of her body. But, V'chachamim Gozval Kesem, the Chamim Asard, whatever the reasons were, the Chamim Asard, the Kesem, Shinim Sebegufa, Obe Begadel, okay, if the stain was found on her body physically or on the garment, whatever, she's tmeya. Basura labaila, and she's also filo hergisha. She didn't sense any type of sensation. Bafilo bodkatz matzatora, and even if she had examined herself subsequently, and it doesn't help. Okay, the Taz, it's in cotton bays 12. The Taz is bothered by the same kasha that Kesemish. I don't know if he didn't see the Kesemish. He doesn't quote him. Okay, the Taz is bothered by the same kasha. It's the Beis Yosef, isn't it a Sveik Sveika? Okay. Ikal HaKshos, Havi Sveik Sveika. Sofer Gatsi Mena Oma Alma. Vim Tim Sofer Mena, Imer La Ben Amokar. Okay. Which we had back in Kuf Beis Zayin, he points out. Remember? So we'll see that in a second. So, you know, that was by Roa Machmas Tashmish. Okay, we had a Sveik Sveika there, if you recall, the Ramo. So anyway, you hear the Taz this, Taz here in Simkot Beis and Simkot Tzadi, is asking the same kash as the Kesef Mishnah asked at the beginning of Perek Tes. The Chusar Bir should be a Sveik Sveika. So I don't know that Taz didn't see the Kesef Mishnah, not sure. But anyway, he gives a different Terence. He's Yesh Lomar. He says it's also a weak Sveik Sveika, not for the reasons that the, not exactly the same thing that the Kesef Mishnah says, but he says Yesh Lomar, the second line of 12, the Kavan, the Rove Dam, Sheyotim Isha She'en La Maka, Asim Makar, Lo Nech Shavzeh, Le Sofek Klal. Most Dam that comes out of a woman's body, from that part of her body, is coming from the Makar. So you want to say Dilma maybe didn't come from there, it came from a different spot? Yeah, it could be, but that's a weak Sofek, says the Taz. That's a weak Sofek. Most of the time when a woman discharges Dam from that part of the body, it's coming from the Makar. Okay? Right? Rove Dam, Sheyotim Isha She'en La Maka, Asim Makar. Right, and therefore, lo nechshav zela suffik klal. That's not a. So you can't say that's a sveik sveika, because that first suffik is very weak. Suffik that maybe not. I'm sorry, not the first suffik, the second suffik. According to the Taz, the second sveik sveika was maybe this came from her, maybe it didn't. Even if it came from her, maybe it came from a place that doesn't render her neither. So the Kesef Mishnah rejected the first suffik. Right, he said the first suffix was weak. What do you mean? Maybe it came from her. The Metzius, it looks like it came from her. The Taz is rejecting the second suffix. The Taz is saying the second suffix, first suffix was maybe it came from her, maybe it didn't. But the second suffix, well, maybe if it came from her, maybe it didn't come from the mucker. He said that's very unlikely. The robe is not like that. The robe is that it came from the mucker. Therefore, he considers that a weak suffix. So that's the Taz. But the different terrors than the different terrors in the case of the mission. Okay, so that's not a real suffix. The Taurus of Shlomo, right, Yaakov, and Sukkot and Aleph here in Simkut Tzadi, 13, right, he quotes the Rambam, who says that it's a Suffolk Shema Kesem Zemen Achedabo, and because of a Kesem Misha Koshali, it should be a Svek Sveka, and he gives the Teretz, two Teretz, either it's an Isser Chomer, okay, Isser Chomer. And by the way, he says, where do we see this Isser Chomer? Because that's the Gemara on Nuntes, right, Lobo Chachomim, that we saw before, right, Lahachma Debre Torah, we said, okay. And Rashi said, we don't want to be Mekel. But he said that right? In other words, that's how we know it's an Isser Chomer. The whole Xeruk Summon was not to be Mekel. Right? If you're going to be Mekel by a Kesem, then maybe Shema you'll be Mekel by a real Riyazdam, right? The whole Xerah of Summon was to be more Makwe, the way Rashi said. That was the second Rashi that we had. So anyway, and that was the first, so that's the first Teretz of the Kesem Mishnah. And then he said, not Oja Shomer, Shemacha Shemdor Lissel, Kilo Meguf Vadai, Ein Kala Sofik Echod. Okay, or he said that it's not the one suffix is weak. Then he said, so that the Kesef, Taurus HaShom just summarized the Kesef mission. Then he says, about five lines down, about Taz, he quotes the Taz, okay? But then he mentions that Ramo we had back in Simon Kuf Pei Zion, all right? Remember, it was a suffix, maybe came to not store them and so on and so forth, but there was a makas of difference. So let's look now at the last few lines of the Torah Shoshama. The Hainu time of the Havis Svek Sveka. He says, no, it's a good Svek Sveka, right? The Kasha is a good Kasha. He's going to reject the Taz. The Israel on Ruba came in the row of Nashim in a row of Smachman's Tashmish Mimokar. Lachain Havis Svek Sveka Gomer. He goes back in, what did we say back in Kuf Pei Zayin? He said, yeah, there's a rov, but the rov was weakened because rov nashim don't see machmas tashmish. And therefore, that's a sveik sveika. So here too, the high time, the last two lines of the Torah Shalom, the high time, a chashav hocha gamkein sveik sveika, kevin the rov nashim margishin ba'atzmam imra'az dam. And therefore, isla ruba. Right, what did the Taz say? The Taz wanted to say it was a week. The suffix, the second suffix, is a week because rov dam shiyotzim isha come from the mocker. So says the Taz, yeah, that's true. But rov dam that come woman, she comes to the hargasha too. And there's no hargasha, so then that rov is weakened, and therefore it's a sveik sveika gomer ilav hatamim shekasa kesem misha. Therefore, he likes to go back to kesem misha. The Taz someone rejects the Taz. Because the Taz's disapproval of the Sveik Sveika is based on the fact that the second suffix, The second suffix is maybe it came from a part of the body that doesn't render her anida, and the Taz says that's a weak suffix because most of the time the blood that comes out does come from there. And Taz Hashem says, yeah, that's true, but most of the time it comes with a hargosha. So here there was no hargosha. So don't tell. I don't want to hear what happens most of the time. This was obviously different than most of the time, right? You hear the Taz Hashem's rejection. The whole Taz's position is that most of the dam that comes out from that part of the body and comes from the mukkah. So the Taz Hashem says, "Yeah, you're right, but most of the time it comes with hargosha. Obviously, this isn't one of those most of the times, and therefore it's a regular sveik sveika. It doesn't weaken the suffix." The Taz thought it's weak in the suffix, the second suffix, because most of the time taka comes from that part of the body. That's not really a suffix. So the Taz Hashem says, well, yes, it is, because this is not one of the most of the times. Haraya, most of the time it comes out with hargosha. Right? In other words, the Taz is right that most dam that come out of woman come in hamokah. But most of the time it comes with hargosha. Here there was no hargosha. So therefore, we can say that this is an exceptional situation, and therefore there really is a suffix. And we can apply the principle of the Sveik Sveika. And then he said, therefore, we have to fall back on the Kesef Mishnah's analysis that either it's because of Nisar Chomor or it's because, we have nothing else. We told it and so on. So that's the Torah of Shaman. You with me? Everyone here? Good? This nothing hard, right? Okay. The Sidri Tara in our Simon here in Simon Kuf Tzadi has a long, long piece. It's in cotton sort of Tzadi Gimel. Only printed the end of it. Okay. But he has an important explanation. I think it'll help us understand. Okay. He says as follows. Look in the very end of Sivkot and Sadi Gimel, number 14. The Terem HaChala B'din Ksam, before I finish talking Ksam, let me tell you the following. Okay. Ha the Kaimelon Ksam Darbonon. We pass in Ksam Darbonon. Umin HaTorah Ein Shum Tum Ksamim. Torah, there's no issue with Ksamim. Okay. L'diva HaTorah, L'diva Kol Tahari L'Baila. Okay. And no matter what, okay, and he says, but midrabbanan we're concerned. V'yeshu shnei ponim, echad came into shalom argosha asim high time. Ina shetmei labayla. I didn't see this coming. First of all, okay, it's not doraisa because there was no argosha. Okay, da filu bo miguf mikomok and came to labay argosha asu tohorim. Xeris hakosim. Why it's xeris hakosim? Sheina shetmei labro argosha. That's the pasuk we started with. Biv sarah. Even if she sees dam coming out of her body, but there's no hargosha, she's tahora min haTorah because there's no hargosha. Why? That's the first Rashi, right? That's Rashi in 4. On nun ches v'alaf tivim asum d'abanan dilma argisha v'alav adaita. That's the Siddur Torah. He quotes that Rashi. Okay. Pirish Rashi, Berakaror, each tafton chesman al tuzav darbanan. Oh, kipirish atoz. We didn't see divam asam odushmul da filo vada lo argishus meir ho rosa dam nidus. So leave that out for now. But for Ode Shlomer, tam acher to mishum hachik son darbanan. That well, I can give you a different reason. You know why the rabbanan why some son darbanan. That was the rule of the Torah. The Torah usually will say a suffix, snake, snake. The Siddur Torah says, I don't want to hear anything about that. Why? Because the din d'oraisa is that we only are metame when it's vada migufa asa. A kesem, we can say that bloodstain came from somewhere else, either not from her body at all, or another, as we'll see, from a bug or something else, or other stain, or from her body, but not from the part of the body that renders her anita. Then lo asur Torah. And afal gav the ba'alma kaimalon the sfeika the rice of the chumer says the siddur Torah. What it means? Well, how do you have a kula by tzomim? The sfeika the rice, right? Sfeika the rice, right? Maybe she had a argosha that she make it a sfeika the rice. Yeah, I mean the sfeika the rice of the chumer. Why we make a good? There was no argosha, but maybe the mere fact that we say, and as Rashi said, and that's what the siddur Torah quoted. Rashi and the Chesman Aleph said, Dilma argosha v'lava daite. That once you say that, that should make it a deraisa. Make it a deraisa l'chumah. Forget about Darabana, should make it a deraisa. So this is what I bring out from the Siddur Torah. He says, no. Mikol Mokon Kang, there's a cause of the Hasveka Sharia. Dumya, the Sharia HaTorah, Mamzer Misafik. More in the Kiddushin. Okay, it says, Lo Yova Mamzer Mikal Hashem. What about a Sufik Mamzer? What about a Suffolk mamzer? So there I would say, well, I don't know if there's legitimate reason to say he's a mamzer, even a Suffolk mamzer, sveik of the rice of the chumra. No, a Suffolk mamzer is mutal of a kohol. Why? Because the Gemara says, mamzer vada, asur Torah v'lo mamzer Suffolk. Okay? The Torah only asked, okay, a mamzer vada. So I don't want to hear about sveik of the rice of the chumra. The Torah did not asur a mamzer Suffolk here. True, there's a principle sveik of the rice l'chumra, but here they only answered an actual vaday. Or he says the same thing by orla, gabe orla b'chutz l'aretz. Orla, you know, right? The first three, you plant a tree, so the first 3 years of life of a tree, you're not allowed to eat any of the produce of the tree. Okay, that's the din of orla. Now, I think I mentioned this once before, that orla actually, you know, the first 3 years of a tree, it doesn't produce too much fruit anyhow. The tree has to grow and mature. But in recent agricultural advances, it's actually an issue because they can, just like you have human growth hormones, so they can inject certain growth hormones into trees and make them mature faster and produce fruits faster, you know, they produce pears faster. So then you could have a real issue with the orla, okay? Because again, naturally speaking, a tree doesn't produce that much. I guess this is a good Tu B'Shvat topic. This week is Tu B'Shvat, right? You know, what's Tu B'Shvat? You know, when we're little kids, Tu B'Shvat is, you know, I don't know what in your time, but in my time, the Tu B'Shvat, they gave out these bags of dried fruits, supposedly from Eretz Yisrael, or at least from the local kosher store. And, you know, some buxer and other things, we didn't know what to do with them. You know, like, okay, a dried apricot, you buxer. We used to hit each other with them, honestly. But anyway, they, you know, throw them at each other. But carob, you know. But Tu B'Shvat is, in its essence, Tu B'Shvat is a halachic day, right? It's relevant for various halachic purposes. Okay, that's really Tu B'Shvat. It's like, you know, it's like April 15th. You know, it's not a yontif. It's a kasha why we talk and don't say tachanun on Tu B'Shvat. This year, everyone's happy because it's a Thursday, so you get to miss the long tachanun. What's Tu B'Shvat? It's very questionable why Tu B'Shvat, not so poshut, why Tu B'Shvat should be a yontiv. I mean, you know, the truth is they made it into it. People have a Tu B'Shvat seder and so on to eat. They made it into a big yontiv. Okay? At some point, I think of Shechta once said they made it into a big yontiv, those who did, the Mekubalim and so on and so forth, because that was their way of connecting to Eretz Yisrael. But the way to connect to Eretz Yisrael. Today we don't have to do that. We can go to Eretz Yisrael. We can connect to Eretz Yisrael in many different ways. But at one time, for so many Jews, Eretz Yisrael was impossible to get to and impossible to travel to. So that was once a year they sort of focused on Eretz Yisrael. We have other Yom HaTzmut or whatever. We have other times, other ways to focus on Eretz Yisrael. But you know. But anyway, what in its essence, I mean, to be honest, I once found in Rabbeinu Gershom that he says that the reason there's no Tachron Tish, I think it was Rabbeinu Gershom, one of the early Rishonim. He said the reason there's no Tachron Tu B'Shvat is it was a low plug, because all the other, it's Arba Rosh Hashanah Haim, all the others is no Tachron, because it's Rosh Chodesh, or it's Rosh Hashanah. So, I mean, low plug, so this day you also don't say Tachron. That's not the strongest answer, but that's only thing I ever found in print. But Lamaisa, you know, we don't say Tachron Tu B'Shvat. What Tu B'Shvat really is a halachic cutoff date. The Mishnah says, if I plant Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, we call Rosh Hashanah, is Rosh Hashanah Latias. Latias. Latias means a sapling. So I plant a tree as a sapling. So let's say I plant it now. When does it become 1 year old? Next Rosh Hashanah. It's only 6 months old. But that's the din, Rosh Hashanah. It's a new year for saplings, Latias. So even though it was only, it can't be that I planted the day before, but I planted, let's say, at least 45 days before, then that's already called 1 year. The next Rosh Hashanah will be 2 years in terms of Arla. The next one will be 3 years. Okay, now Lechorah should be allowed to eat it after the next Rosh Hashanah. Should be Netter Ravai after the third Rosh Hashanah. Comes the third Rosh Hashanah, it's not a sapling anymore. It's not a tea. Now it's an Elon. Now it's a tree. So do not mutter until it's Tubishvat, Rosh Hashanah Elonos. Okay, that's what it means, Rosh Hashanah Elonos. That's one of the halachic areas where Tubishvat is relevant. It's not a Yontif. It's relevant. And now, even though three Rosh Hashanahs have passed, it's still going to be called Arla until Tu B'Shvat of that year, because now it's Rosh Hashanah is only Rosh Hashanah Lenatiyah, saplings. But it's not a sapling anymore. If the three is, it grew into a tree. So Rosh Hashanah Ilanos, now it's not Arla after Tu B'Shvat. Still, by the way, the tree doesn't have to be three chronological years old. It could still be like, let's say I planted in June. I planted in July, whatever. I planted in June and July, so it becomes 1 year old on that Rosh Hashanah, even though it's only 2 months old. The following Rosh Hashanah becomes 2 years old. The following Rosh Hashanah becomes 3 years old. But we just said, but now it's not a sapling anymore. It's not an atiyah. Now it's an elon. So you have to wait until Tu B'Shvat. Now Tu B'Shvat, now it's not Arla anymore. After Tu B'Shvat, it's Ice Arla, even though it's still not 3 full years old, because I planted it in June. Okay, but now it's going to be Netter Ravai. And the following Tu B'Shvat, it'll be Mutter. Okay, it'll be the Chshana Chamishis. Anyway, why did I bring that up? Because there's a din, Arla is a din in Eretz Yisrael. Pasuk says, Kisavo, Pasuk Kedoshim, Pasuk Kedoshim. It says, Kisavola Oretz in the Tatem, Kaleitz Machol, right? That's Kisavola Oretz. So the Gemara has, no, the Gemara in Kedushim, if you may remember, on Daf Lamed Zayin, the Gemara has in Kedushim that Arla Bechutz Oretz, Alach Alamosh Mesinai. But even though it says in the Tatem, Kisavola Oretz, but there's a din of Arla and Chutz Oretz also. Aye, so why don't we have to worry every time we go to the grocery store here and buy fruit? Maybe it's Arla. The answer is because Suffolk Arla Bechutz Laaretz is mutter. So if I taka plant a tree in my yard and I know when I planted it, then I taka have to worry about Arla here also. But when I go to the grocery store, I have no idea where those fruits came from, when they grew, and neither does the grocery store owner. Okay? So therefore, it's Suffolk Arla, so it's mutter. So that's what the Sidri Tari says here. Just like Suffolk Arla is mutter. What do you mean? It's fake of the Isla Homer? No. They only made the rule by Abada Arla, not by Suffolk Arla. So even though usually fake of the Isla Homer, but here, it's not going to be Sekel Reis L'chumah. Same thing my mom said. We don't say Sekel Reis L'chumah. So the Sidri Tari says, similar here also, when it comes to a Kesim, when it comes to a Rias Nida, it's only Vadai and not Suffolk, and therefore it's not Sekel Reis L'chumah. That's the Sidri Tari. Okay. The other issue I just wanted to, everyone with me? Okay. So that's the Sidri Tari. Good. Now, there's one other important question which relates to the next line in the Shulchan Aruch, and that is the following. Okay. 15. The Gemara asks in Nida Nun Gimel Beis Boy Min Erab Zera Mirab Asi Ksomim Tzrichin Hefsik Para Alo. If you find the Kesem, good. So we said it to me. Rabbanon, fine, all good. Do I need a Hefsik Tara? Meaning, when can I count the 7 days? Starting when? Starting the day I find the Kesem? Or no, I need a Hefsik Tara in the sense that I have to. She'll have to check at the end of the day and make sure that Taka no dam, then she counts the 7 day. Does the day of the Metzias HaKesem, does that already count as the first day or not? Do we need it?
The Sidrei HaTaros comparison, do you get, yeah. Because the Shechter always says over that with Arla B'Chutz Laaretz, it's not just, usually you can't just go out of your way and make Sveikos. But by Arla B'Chutz Laaretz, you can sort of turn a blind eye and make Sveikos. You don't even have to clarify them. Would he carry that over to
Kesem? Yeah, I don't know if he'd take it that far. Okay, because Kesem, we do say we have to have a reason for ignoring it. You have to have a tliya, you have to have some other reason to ignore it.
But she's allowed to go out of her way and wear a tzivonim.
Right, that's true too, right? Not to come up with a problem. Not to come up with a problem. Or how we can be told it. I don't know. I have to see. It's a good question. In other words, again, what are their fourth thing? I forgot what the fourth one was. So, with Abelis, I forgot what the fourth thing was. The Babai not. And Mamzer and Ksomim and Arla. There's one other thing also. Shechtowitz quotes one other thing. I forgot what it is.
I think
Avelis
could make a
Ba'avel. Yeah, that's something else. Also, I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not sure we take it all the way. It's an interesting question. I'm not sure how far we take it. But it just as a, you know, the comparison makes sense. Okay, let's go weiter. We'll go a little weiter. So the Gemara says on the Gimel Beis. So tzricha nafsek tara la. Okay, in other words, must she ascertain after finding a kesem? Must she do a bedika and so on and so forth? A proper hefsek tara, proper bedika to ascertain that it's taka no dam. All right. So ishtik v'lama leminidis. So Rav Asi didn't answer. So zimnim another time. Ashkeched yosef komar. Tola kisma b'riyosim eis leis. Talking about a different matter, divrei Rebbe. Okay. The question is, be metame retroactively, so to speak. Okay. Tola kisma b'riyosim eis leis. In other words, let's say she finds a kesem. Okay. But then she actually sees dam within the eis leis of the finding of the kesem. Okay. So we'll say, according to Rebbe, will say that the kesem was simply part of that re'iyah. And therefore, she won't be, she doesn't have to be tamei meis leis before the kesem. You don't have to go back earlier than the kesem. Okay, if there's a re'iyah afterwards, the kesem will be attached to that re'iyah. Again, I'm not that interested in the details now of that. Okay, but Rish Lakish says, Omar Rish Lakish v'hu shebodka. Okay, Rabbi Yochanan v'hu afrish lo bodka. Now, what do you see from there? They're doing a bedika. So that sounds like when you find the kesem what, that has to be a bedika afterwards, right? So Amar Lei Miklal Diksom Mitzvichin Hafsekas Tara, okay. And in other words, because both Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, they're only arguing: did she have to do a bedika? Didn't she have to do a bedika? Fine. I'm sorry. Did she do a bedika or did she not do a bedika? And the local case there is not what's important to us at the moment. Again, she the case there is when she had a Riyas Dam. You look at the Rashi, right? She had a Riyas Dam within 24 hours after one second. Yeah, she had a Riyas Dam, and within 24 hours after finding a kesem, that's the case there. But either way, both Rabbi Yochanan and Shlokesh agree that she's supposed to do a bedika. The question is, did she dafka have to do a bedika, or even if not bedika? But what emerges is, according to both of them, she did a bedika. So therefore, that would indicate that in order to start the count after finding a kesem, you need to do a bedika, have siktara. Is that true? It says, Amalei mekhal diksam tzvichan asakhtara. Amalei in, yes. So he says, yeah, but I asked this once before. But I asked this question, but you didn't answer. Dilma agav shitvach agav shitvach. He said, "Okay, I was hurried. I was rushed. Whatever." He didn't give an answer the other time. Rashi, the little different Rashi in 16, Rashi explains that hefsek tara means b'shvi litbol be'erev tzricha livdok ben hashmashos lahafsek b'tara olo. Okay, it means after the seventh day. Okay, meaning it comes out to the same thing, but does the day of the kesem count towards the seven or not? Rashi says the question is, does she have to do a bedika before being tovel that evening or not? Because she only had a kesem, okay? So maybe she doesn't have to do it. And then the last Rashi, do also the Yosef, the Kamer, Hach Milson, the Rebbe, first Rashi, Amar Shalkesh, who Shabodka ben Ashrashal Shuris Lekisma, Lasik Betara. And that seemed to indicate that there needs to be a bedika. The point is, though, does the first day, so to speak, count or not? Rashi is talking about doing the bedika at the end, but it adds up to the same thing. Does the day of the Riyas HaKesem count as the first day or not? So the Rambam, in Hilchos Issur, be a Perek Tes Halachid Beis, first of all, just as a deductory comment, Rashi, the Rambam says, Hai Salavash Chalok Echa V'Shoah Ala Shosha Yomim, O Yosef, below Es Nidah. So she's wearing the same garment for 3 days, the same undergarment and so on, those days that was done. Ubat Komot Ala Shosha Ksam, she found 3 Ksamim, O Kesem Echad Godol Kesheish Bashir Shosha Ksamim, or was a big enough shear that, you know, 3 things land in the same spot and so on. I raise the suffix, Ziva, Shema, Kesev, Notem, Rakoyom. Okay, that's that din. Okay, but then the Rambam writes in Perek Yud Aleph, Halach Yud Aleph, 18, Din HaKsam is Manazek, Kamo Shabiyarno, Ve'ein Dabar Chiv Shalominik, El Kol Kesem Shemarno, Shi Torah, Harei Torah, V'chol Kesem Shemarno, Tmea. Okay, for example, it's not the right size and so on. Then, Soferes, Shivas, Yomim, Miyom, Shenimtza bo hakesem. See, the Rambam says, the day that she found the kesem, that's when she can start counting the 7 days. Okay, b'mahoya shir hakesem de'alachas shuzibus and sofer shuzam ma'achar yom shenimtza bo hakesem. But if it's a zava problem, then you have to wait till afterwards. Shenar adam kor hakesem. Fine, and that, I'm not asking that now. Look at the but my point is the Rambam says sofer shivus yom Shanim Tzavah Kesem. Woman sees a Kesem, she counts 7 days starting from that day. She saw it doesn't mention anything about Hefzik Tara, so it seems that you don't need a Hefzik Tara. Hasagas Haravid. He says, Zeshib Amar Brahm, Zeshibish Gadol. Okay, it's a big mistake. Bizarre Shamar Ksom Tzrichen Hefzik Tara, Unakim Binan. The Achar Yom Metzia He Mona. You have to do it after. And it's arriving, disagrees around him. There has to be a Hefzik Tara, it has to be again after that day, not the same day. And similarly, in the Balei Nefesh, 219, Sharak Soma Simon Gimel, the rabbi writes, Varoa Kesem, Tomei Sheinich HaLisos Tzvicha Hefzik Tara. Says before, Tzvicha Hefzik Tara, B'teishol Shimon Akim, and then Simon Akim after that. And then Tzvicha B'dika, Kashenitla B'shara Asura B'dika, right? So the rabbi both in the Hasogas, the rabbi on that Rambam, Perek Yud Aleph, Avichah Asura B'yalach Yad Aleph, and in the Balei Nefesh, Sharak Soma Simon Gimel, he says before that there needs to be Hefzik Tara. You cannot count the day of the Re'is HaKesem as the first day. Similarly, the Ramban in his Hilchos Nida in Perek Dalet Osalap, the Ram writes, Ein Oishim Yisam in the Torah Ad Shetargish, fine. And with the Reis Yisam in the Hargosha, Shoshah Shadam Yosef Sarah, Umidivre Sofrim Shekol HaMotz HaKesem Dam Al Gufo V'Gadda Af Bishol Gisha Af Bishol Bod Kazal HaMotz HaDam Ariz HaTmeh. With Rabbanan, woman finds a kesem on her body or on her clothing, even if she didn't feel anything, even if she didn't be care afterwards, still Ariz HaTmeh. Obizman hazeh, says the Ramban, Mona Shiva Nikim Chutz Miyom Hamitziya. Chutz Miyom Hamitziya. So Ramban is like the Ravid, not like the Rambam. Okay. Then it's just interesting, in Memches I printed that Ksomim, when you find the Kesem, doesn't count as establishing a Vesis. So Ketzad Motza Kesem Rosh Chodesh Afilu Shosh Pomelo Kabbal a Vesis. If the woman finds a Kesem three consecutive Rosh Chodesh, that doesn't mean it's a Vesis. Okay. But unless it's a certain circumstance exception, but we'll come back to that. Rashba and the Bayis Aruch, Tosh Bayis Aruch, Bayis Zayin, Shar Dalet, and Shar, beginning of Shar Dalet. He says also, Dvar Torah, Eina Isha Metamish, Unida Ad Shetargish. Okay, good. And we have the Pasuk. He says, Zova Dami Abisara, Velo Kesem. Chachamim Asu Syag Ladover. The Chachamim made a Syag. The Timo Afilo is Aksamim Lahachma, the very Torah, like we learn. The Tanya Hasal Orachom Esad of Lahachma, Lahachma. That again, as we said before, that's in the Bayis Aruch, Bayis Zayin, Shar Dalet, and Shar Hey, 22. He writes, Kol Hanoshim Shirodam O Shetmeis Mishum Kesem Tzrichos LaHafsik B'Tara Kodem Shetaska Lispo Shivinakim Shalo. Okay, she must do. She has to. Any woman, okay, he says either Shirodam. Oshetmeos mishum kesem. It's the exact same thing. You have to wait till it stops. You can't count that day. That's what the Rashbo writes. Notice how he equates them, right? Kol hanosh mishorodam. Oshetmeos mishum kesem. It's the same din. She has to do a bedika to make sure that there's no dam, and then count the seven nekim afterwards. And the Bayis HaKotzer by Zion Sharadal 23 also writes, Rashbo, Ha'isha shetmeos mishum kesem tzvicha shetafsik b'tara kenida. The achar tara mode is known as Zion Nikim, chutz miyom shiv sikabo kedesh mana baroa badoi. So most of the Rishonim are not like the Rambam. Okay, the Rambam again. Look back in 20. Rambam says, 18. So feres shiva nikim miyom shenim tzavah kesem. Okay, and the Ravin, the Ramban, the Rashbo, the other major Rishonim disagree with the Rambam and say that you cannot count that day. Okay. Now, Bismanenu, so the smag, Sefer Mitzvot Gadol, the smag in Lavan Kuf Yud Aleph, and the Sefer Truma in the Chosnid Siman Sari Hey, remind us, of course, that we don't just do a Hefzik Tara. We have to wait a few days before the Hefzik Tara. Right? So the smag writes, Hilchach Lamadnu, look in 24, Hilchach Lamadnu, Halacha Lamaisa, Sha'isha Shishim Shabalad, Rosh Machos Damo Kesem, Tzricha Lahamtin Sheish Ono Shlemos. Remember, Kirabonon, the Parak of Yekiva, we'll talk about this at greater length. Shem Chol Yom Tiflo Tzichla Zera. Well, what are we afraid of? We're afraid of when a woman has relations with her husband. Okay, we've discussed this a little bit in the past. So she's what's called the Poleta Tzichla Zera. Her body, the Zera, the husband, you know, when the male sperm entered her body, the male ejaculated in her body, so that the sperm there, and it oozes out over the course of a couple of days. right? It doesn't, you know, it's inside, and then it kind of oozes out. So that's called poletes. We'll talk about this at length. And you know these dinim, right? So that's called the poletes, shechvezera poletes. So we're afraid that, well, maybe there's some dam mixed in with that, right? So therefore, you have to wait, since the, you know, we have to wait for several days, which is not poletes, okay? So says the smag in the third line of 24. Lefichach im shimsho atzoy Shabbos ros abo bayom eino maschel alzis par yom chamishu b'Shabbos uba era revi tivdok atzmo k'dei lahavsik b'tara. You shall have to wait. You shall have to wait. Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Right. Wait. Sheish onos, three units of time. Yeah. So after she sees. So therefore, she won't be able to go till Wednesday night. And so on, all the dinner, which we'll come back to later. All right. But anyway, that's the, that is the smag pointing out. And what we're saying is the same is true of a kesem. And that's how the Sefer HaTruma says mafurish in Siman Tzadi Hei. Okay. He says, we paskin that you need sheish onos. How that ended up being 5 days is a further question. Okay, but that's our practice. By the Ashkenazim, we wait 5 days before the Sfarim, wait four, right? Don't know. Okay, but right, Sfarim wait 4 days before the Shitar, and the Ashkenazim wait five. Okay, and the concern is, yeah. So says the Sefer Truma, Rasa Achmar Atash. Look in the third line, Rasa Achmar Atash is Rak Yom Echad O Kesem Echad. Then Tzrikalam till Gimel Yomim, you have to wait for 3 days before doing the count. Yom HaPleita Eina Min HaMinyan. Okay, that day doesn't count, and therefore you have to roll the din of Asir, and you have to count the Hafsik Tara first. So to Machol to Rishonim, but that's our role with the Rishonim Paskin. Let's just finish up by seeing what's in the Shulchan Aruch here in Sif Aleph continues. Sim Kutsadi Sif Aleph continues 26. Utzricha Hafsik Tara. Mechaber Paskin's like the Rova Rishonim, not like the Rambam. She needs Hafsik Tara. Namely, she tivdok atzma after she finds the kesem. She tivdok atzma v'tim tzatora. Then v'acharkach timna shivin akim chutz miyom hamitziya. Then she has to count 7 clean days, except for the 1 day where she found it. Okay, and the Rambam adds ki ilu rosa vaday. Okay, like he says, like it's going to learn in Siman Kuf Tzarivav. What's in Siman Kuf Tzarivav? Take a look at 27 very quickly, and with this we'll finish. The Rambam. In Kuv Tzaribov, in Sifir Aleph, the Hagod, the Ramo writes, V'chol isha sharoa afilu kesem, tzricha lahamtin by the Ashkenazim, hey yomim, im yom sharoa svov, v'tifso glaiz erv, v'tispo shivanakiyim, and so on. V'chei noog, v'ninus elu v'ein l'shanos. So the Ramo writes beforeish. You have a kesem, you have to wait the 5 days plus the 7 days. Whatever would happen, as if it were a normal re'iyah. That's how we paskin, and therefore we treat a kesem as definitely not a real re'iyah, but we treat it as a real re'iyah, and we pass like the most Rishonim will say, you'll need to clarify first, there's no more dam, she needs some sort of hafsik tara, and only then can she begin counting the shivin akim. Okay? All right, we'll stop over here. We'll finish this Hakam Mitzvah Shem tomorrow.
Thanks, Rabbi.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rabbi.